try this one. Oh, there we go. A couple of years back around Christmas time, my sister and my brother-in-law and her kids were up, and there was, you know, we were hanging out in my mom's house in the living room, and I took this photograph just on my phone, and to me, it has always been sort of this beautiful accident, but this sort of thing that I think encapsulates, in some ways, parenting, which is my oldest niece. You know, she was maybe two or three at the time, and there was some sort of music or some sort of thing that's happening, that's going on, and she has, like, her eyes are just wide open, she has this big smile on her face, and her hands are like mid-clap because she's so excited, and whatever this is that she's been smiling and clapping about, it's been going on for a little bit, right, as it sometimes happens with kids, right, again, do it again, play the song again, let's sing and clap and do whatever again. So she's very thrilled that this is still happening again. My brother-in-law is sitting on the couch behind her. She's looking in the other direction, and he's like this, rubbing his temple, rubbing his nose here, his hands and his face and his hands there, because he's exhausted, right? He's very tired, yeah. But I've always thought that was a beautiful photo, because like the second that she would turn around, what would happen, right? You all know. He would start to smile, he would clap, all these kinds of things. But in that brief moment, just for himself, he needed to break. But what wasn't he going to do? He wasn't going to go and say, that's enough, we're going to stop the music, there's no more clapping, there's no more of any of this. He might be tired of it, but because his daughter is still so thrilled by it, he's going to continue on with that, right? He might need a moment, he might need a break for himself there, but as soon as she wants to continue on with that, he's happy to do so, yeah? This really is a kind of image of love, yeah? It's a kind of image of love. I want to say that word love very specifically, and you've heard me say this before, I think, right? Because so often in our world, so often in our culture, when we think about love, we think that it is about how we feel. We think that love is a feeling that we have. So if I love somebody, that means that when I see them, I feel very warm and fuzzy about them. I feel happy to see them all the time. I feel happy for so many different reasons. So when we hear Jesus say in the scriptures, love one another as I have loved you, we think that's what he means, because that's our conditioning about what love is. We think that when he says, love one another as I have loved you, we think that that means somehow that we must always feel really happy towards others. We must always be have this warm, fuzzy feeling in our hearts in everything that we're doing as Christians. And if somehow we don't constantly have that warm, fuzzy feeling in our hearts, then maybe we're not living up to what love is. But that's not what love is, and it's not the love that God calls us to. The love that God calls us to is to make a choice. To make a choice to do, to desire what is good, what is best for somebody else. Something that helps to build them up. Something that helps them to grow in love as well. So I see that in this photograph that I took on my cell phone of my brother-in-law and my niece. My brother-in-law does not love this song and this clapping that's happening in that moment, right? But my niece does. And so he, even though he needs a moment right there to compose himself, even though he needs a moment, just a little bit of a break, right back at it, right? As soon as she says, yeah, play the song again, Dad. Play the song again. Dance with me. Yes, of course, absolutely. He might be exhausted. He might be tired. He might not want to do it. He might hate the song, right? Parents, you have kids. You will know all the words to the Frozen musical, I'm sure, right? Okay. You know, again, play it again, sing it again. I'm tired of it, it doesn't matter. Why? Because I love. So we think about the love that God calls us to when he says, love one another as I have loved you. And we think about why we might do that. We think about why we might go through that in our own lives. Why would we love others? To love others is exhausting. To really and truly love others, again, it's not about how we feel. It's about the choices that we make, the choices that we repeatedly make. To choose to love others is exhausting. It takes a lot of energy from us to do that, especially in those moments. Here's the distinction, right? God says that we ought to love one another. He doesn't say that we always ought to like one another. That's a big difference. When we choose to love somebody, even when we don't like them in that particular moment, that is difficult. That's a big challenge. It takes a lot of energy from us. And I know parents, you have that with your children too sometimes, right? I have some other friends of mine, a couple different friends who've just had children, right? And having newborn children also is exhausting. You ask yourself, how could they possibly poop this much, right? You ask yourself, how is it that, why don't they sleep when it's nighttime? Why don't they sleep at normal times? Why do they always need to be, we have to be getting up, we have to be doing this, we have to be doing that. It is difficult to do that, right? It takes a toll on us. But we do it anyway, right? Because of love, because there's something that we want for this child, right? We want that child to know our love. We want that child to feel safe. We want that child to be secure. We want to see them grow. We might start to have different hopes and dreams for what they might become as they grow up. We start to envision those kinds of things, right? That's why we endure all of that, for the sake of children. So when we think about what it is then that should inspire us, what it is that ought to motivate us to really love for the sake of God, to love others for the sake of God. And what is it then that can keep us going in those moments when we are tired of trying to do that? We think about what it is that we hear in our second reading, right? Because this is the great promise of God, yeah? It comes in a little bit with what Paul says in this first reading we hear. Paul says that for a time, we might have to undergo various hardships. For a time here, we might find some kinds of struggles, but there is a purpose for all of this. For a time, we might find it challenging. We might find it difficult to love others because we are being rejected. We are being kicked out of the towns. We are being stoned, right? So Paul says, look, for a time, we have to suffer these things, but there's a reason for it. And the reason for it is so that others, too, might know the great love of God, but also so that we ourselves might know that great love and promise of God. That promise, again, he tells us, we hear about it in our second reading from the book of Revelations, what is it that God promises to us? What is the end goal of everything in this life? What is the purpose that we would willingly undergo the different sufferings, the different hardships that come along with loving others? I saw a new city, a new heavenly Jerusalem, coming down from a new heaven upon a new earth. And I heard a voice that said, that God has made his dwelling with the human race, and that they will always be his people, and he will always be their God. God calls us to this beautiful union of love. And he makes us a promise that in that great and new and beautiful Jerusalem, in that new union of love, what happens? That every tear will be wiped away from our eyes. We know that in this life we experience suffering. We know that in this life we experience things that are not just. We experience things that are not fair. And we are asked in this life to bear those burdens. We are asked in this life, even as we pursue justice, even as we pursue consolation for those who mourn, even as we pursue all of these things, we're asked to bear that because there is a time that is coming. There is a time that is coming when all of that will be wiped away, when everything will be subsumed into God's love, into his love for each and every one of us. That is the day that should fill us with such great hope. That is the promise in which we ought to set our eyes as we look forward through this life. When I say, why is it that I should push myself to love others when I don't feel like it? Why is it that I should push to give of myself to others who are in need? Why is it that I should push myself to tell others about the love of Jesus Christ? Because of this great promise of fulfillment and of hope. Because of this great promise and fulfillment of love. Again, we won't always feel like it. And that's the mistake that we want to avoid making. We know that we won't always feel like loving God. We know that we won't always feel like loving and serving others. But guess what? God always loves us anyway. God always loves us anyway. And so just like with children, as they grow, right, we share our love upon them, not because they've earned it, not because they deserve it, right, but because we want to teach them. We want to teach them also what love means so that as they grow, they too can learn to make that same kind of return of love to others. So it is with our God and with us. God loves us unreservedly. He loves us with everything that he has, including the whole of his life, which he gives for us on the cross. God loves us so much right? Why? So that we can learn to love him as well in return. So that we can learn to love others in return. Not about how we feel, but about the choices that we make. So we think about that today. Yeah? Think about maybe there's somebody in your life who you have a particularly difficult time loving. Yeah? Maybe it is a cranky neighbor, right? Maybe it is a mother-in-law. Maybe it is somebody else in your life. Maybe it's even a child or a friend or somebody else who you have a difficult time right now loving. And ask God for that strength to love with his love. Ask God for that strength to love, to be of service to that person. Yeah? Do that. Is it exhausting? Sure. Is it difficult? Yes. I'm not promising anything else. Jesus Christ doesn't come and say, if you believe in me and follow my commandments, your life will be easy and perfect. He says, your life will be challenging. Your life will be hard. But this is the life that he has lived first. And so then, when we find those difficulties, right, when we say to ourselves, I don't really know if I have the strength to love this person as I know that God is asking me to, what do? I come back to this altar because I will be fed with God's very life. I will be fed with his body and his blood so that his life and his love can live through me. So take courage in that. Find hope in that. Place your trust in that, in the love of God living through you. And then it's not so exhausting because we don't do it on our own. Everything we do comes from the strength of God.